Now our text comes this morning from the letter to the Romans and from chapter 4. I'm going to read the verses in 24 and 25, which probably won't make sense by themselves, but I'll introduce the context as we continue. Verse 24 says, "But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offences and was raised again for our justification." Particularly the words, "who was delivered for our offences and was raised again for our justification." The Holy Spirit, taking hold of the word, we're told, is able to divide and separate even between soul and spirit, and between bone and marrow. And this is what happens here. When the Holy Spirit tells us that the Saviour was delivered for our offences and was raised again for our justification, we wouldn't normally have dreamed of separating them. We would have thought they were all one package, one complete entity, and there was no need to separate them. Well, the Holy Spirit has separated them. And let me bring to you the context. The chapter 4 of Hebrews is about Abraham. Abraham is known as the friend of God, but also as the father of the faithful. And this chapter is about the faith of Abraham in one particular matter, not in his faith in leaving Ur of the Chaldees, which I think was a most marvelous example of faith, coming out into the land, but of the faith that he later showed. And so the chapter tells us that the Lord Jesus found the Lord God's approval, not by what he did, but by the faith in which he did it. Verse 2 says, "If Abraham were justified works by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God." Men may admire our capabilities. He might have before men whereof to glory, but it cuts no ice with God. God is not glorified by our competence, by our skills, by our gifts. He gave them us. We do no more than give them back to him, hopefully with interest. But the Lord here is talking about faith. And the question in verse 3, what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. He believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. That expression is also used of Phineas. Now, it's a most wonderful expression. When God counts something to us for righteousness, it means every other thing, every other sin that we've ever done is overlooked because of that one great act of faith. It was counted to righteousness. Counted for him to glory, to enter heaven, to belong to the Father. It was counted to Abraham because of his faith. He believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now that's going to come up later. I had to stress that thing. But chapter 4 goes on to emphasize the difference between works. Those who work to receive acceptance from God, and those who accept it by faith. Now, If we do not seek the Lord's blessing and say, well, we deserve it. We've got to be saved because we've done this, we've done that, we've given to the poor, we've helped the sick, we've done all manner of things. God doesn't accept that. But God accepts trust in himself, faith in his dear son, believing the promises of his word. And Paul goes on and writes in verse 5, to him that worketh not, meaning who doesn't work for his salvation, but believeth on him that justifieth on the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So he's moving on to say, Abraham's faith was counted to him for righteousness, and the one who doesn't look to himself to be deserving of salvation, but comes through Christ, shall also find the imputation of righteousness, the counting to him of salvation because of his faith. And David says, of course, in Psalm 32, quoted in verse 7 here, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. There's that word impute again. Very similar to computer. Impute is very similar to input. Compute means count with. Impute means count to. And so the Lord does not count sin to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the letter goes on. And then it comes to a particular example of Abraham's faith. He's proved that faith is more important than works, that God honors faith. And then he said in verse 17 of Romans 4, as it is written to Abraham, I've made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. So Abraham, who against hope, more than he could have dared dream of, believed in hope, because God said so, that he might become the father of many generations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now he believed that, even when he was tested by being asked to sacrifice his son. In fact, Hebrews tells us what actually went on in his mind is that he believed, of course, that his son had to live, as he could not be the one who would be the father of many generations. But he actually believed that if he killed him, he would be raised from the dead. Hebrews tells us that. And so we read here, he, against hope, he believed in hope. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So here in the scriptures, we have the promise of God concerning Christ, that he was perfect, that he made a perfect offering, that he gave himself to take away the sins of his people from all over the world at all times in history, and was raised from the dead. We stagger not at the promise of God through unbelief. And we are fully persuaded, being strong in faith, that what he promised, he's able also to perform. And therefore, on the one hand, in verse 22, it was imputed to him for righteousness that he staggered not in unbelief. But verse 23 says, but it was not written for his sake alone, but for us, that our sins should be taken away, that righteousness should be imputed to us, Christ's righteousness, perfection, shall be counted to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the same ilk, the same kind of faith, and the Lord gives it the similar response, that he counts righteousness to those, sinners though they may have been, and we know that Abraham was, we know some of his sins, sinners though we've been, righteousness is imputed. So I read those three verses at the end again. Now, it was not written for Abraham's sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offences and was raised again for our justification. Abraham believed in God. God the Father is mentioned in most of the story of Abraham. And so here it's put that the Lord God the Father raised up the Lord Jesus from the dead. Another portion of scripture mentions that Christ raised himself from the dead. But here, in the argument that Paul uses here, he refers to the Father. So the Saviour's righteousness is imputed to those who believe in accordance with what the scripture teaches, in accordance with the promise. If we believe on the Father that he raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Many people don't believe it. Many people down the years have never believed it. And even if we've been brought up in Christian homes, we had to come to that particular knowledge and that particular receiving of that truth by faith. We can't see it. We can't prove it. We can only say the Lord's word. The Bible says so, and God's promise is contained in that word. But righteousness is imputed. Every other sin is taken away because of that one glorious thing, that we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered for our offences and was raised again for our justification. These two things in particular, that the Lord Jesus was delivered for our offences and therefore raised again for our justification. What a wonderful thing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is, that it has such significant results, that things that flow from that have eternal weight in the lives of every believer. Righteousness will be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. But what are the two core things about Jesus' resurrection? What are the things which are a must? Now, the resurrection of Christ is one of the great pillars of the faith. Atonement by the blood of the Lord Jesus, resurrection from the dead, and eternal life are the three great pillars, the three great supports of Christian life in the lives of those who believe. So we see that Jesus here was delivered for our offences. This is what we thought about particularly on Good Friday. He was delivered for our offences. The Father raised him, but the Father delivered him. It pleased the Father that he should receive the punishment. The punishment of his people's sins were laid upon him. It pleased the Father to bruise him. He was delivered over to death. The Son, the only begotten, the loved Son of the Father, he delivered him, gave him over to those bulls of Bashan, to those hard, stiff-necked Jews, to those wicked Gentiles who had no thought of truth or put any value in truth whatever. But Jesus was delivered for us, our offences. He died in order that he might pay the price for the offences of all his people. It's very difficult to study Old Testament sacrifices. There are many of them, and therefore all sorts of situations, some of which when you read them you may think are very minor. But what it teaches generally overall is this, that they're even down to the smallest detail, our sins need to be covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All our sins, the sins of every day, the sins of every night, the sins of our leisure time, the sins of our thoughts about other people, all these things are covered alone by the blood of Jesus. And our faith in that is counted to us for righteousness. But also, there's the other part of it that we celebrate today, that he was raised again for our justification. So as I say, there's a division that we wouldn't normally have thought of. The Lord paid the atonement price for our sins, if you like, on Good Friday. And the second part didn't follow until the day of resurrection, the Sabbath day. However, the two are inextricably bound up. And we may, except for the purposes of when we're studying this passage, think of the two as one. So also it will be imputed to us for righteousness, if conjoined with the fact that we know that he was delivered for our offences and made atonement for our sin, that we believe that he was raised again for our justification. As Paul says, we would be of all men the most miserable if we only believed that our sins were paid for by the blood of Jesus. It would be important, it wouldn't quite be, it would mean we would face judgment day and our sins would be forgiven. But that would be it. And what the Lord is saying here is that the consequence of that is eternal life. Life with God, who is pleased with us because of our faith in his dear Son. Well, I've often spoken to you about the meaning of justification. It worries me that so many people know the expression and say it's an important part of our faith, but haven't a clue what it means. Legal term, and it means to justify. Our English use of justify doesn't really do it service, but it does in a way. Effectively, it means pronounced not guilty. That justice has been fulfilled, and therefore you are justified by being pronounced not guilty. Now, we are guilty. We're guilty sinners. We use the expression that we're sinners saved by grace. We are guilty. How then can the Lord, who is most holy, who cannot tolerate sin, who certainly wouldn't want it forever with him in heaven, how can he tolerate us? And the answer is that the Lord Jesus paid the price of our sin and then prayed for our being raised from the dead. Because resurrection is vested in him, as he proved with Lazarus. And as we see, as we read in Matthew 27, that after his resurrection, a selection of saints were raised from the dead. And they were met by many of the Christians as well. All resurrection belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, including his own. And being raised, it is, so that on top of being forgiven for our sins, we may know that God pronounces us not guilty permanently. When we're in heaven, he won't look around and say, oh, there's that miserable old so-and-so. I know he's better now, but that's what he did in those days, you know. You won't think like that. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has cleansed sin so that we may live with him forever in glory, saved and with God's pleasure and the Saviour's pleasure abounding upon us. Looked at another way, the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead so that he might pray that the achievements of dying for us might be applied to our hearts, if you want to look at it that way. But he was raised. This is absolutely crucial. A dead Christ, which is what many people believe, and they believe, as we saw in Matthew 27, they believe, the Jews believe, that the disciples came and stole him away, that there was no such thing as resurrection, that it didn't happen. And it does require faith to believe it. But that faith, when exercised, is faith in the Father, faith in the Saviour, faith in his word. Whichever way you look at it, it's right. And so it is that the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, that we might with him have life forevermore, that we might share in our raised bodies as well as our souls life, for which this life is just but a taster. All down the years since the fall, men have had 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years of life. Just a few of those early generations to people the world had up to 900 plus. But that's all. But eternity has no ending. Eternity is to be with God, doing those things which he loves to do, which please him, which please his dear son. And we're doing that, and there is no way that the world is going to wind down. There is no way that heaven is going to finish. There may be new things that happen to us as we go along. We've no idea. Eye has not seen, nor has ear heard the things that God has prepared for them that love him. It's beyond imagination. But it is way above all the terrible things that go on in this world. And the reason that we plead, one of the reasons that we plead so much with young people, with those in the middle of their lives, with those who are older, given up everything for this world, the things you enjoy doing, the things you enjoy buying, and are cutting yourself off from the real life. The life that matters, the eternal life. It's a no-brainer if you don't believe in Christ. You need to believe in Christ to be saved. And in this verse we're told, if we believe in the atoning blood of Christ, and if we believe in the raising of Jesus Christ from the dead, not only shall we be saved, but that wonderful expression, righteousness will be imputed unto us. Christ's righteousness. Not one sin will be remembered, because our faith in Christ is more significant than anything else we've ever done, and is the most significant thing that we could ever do. We live in a world that changes Genesis 2, doesn't believe in the Sabbath day, doesn't believe in marriage. And now they don't appear to believe in Easter. I mean, legally, officially, not just individuals. I think the Lord gets very cross when nations enact laws. Individuals, of course, will fall. But when nations go against the law of God, that he visibly, to use Biden's phrase, he visibly deals with. Let us trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us bless him for his faithful death and his glorious resurrection, shared by the Father himself and by the Holy Spirit. The angels, what triumph he showed. I love that rolling away of the stone, and he sat upon it. I think that's a marvelous expression. And then, after such a display of power, he deals so tenderly with the women. Come, don't be afraid. This is what our faith is about. We might have been full of fear. And there is great fear upon those who oppose God. But we who believe, we're dealt gently with. We're told not to be afraid. We're encouraged to come close to God. And we're encouraged to believe as long as we live and enter into glorious heaven. May we reflect upon these things this wonderful day, and may we rejoice all our lives long and through eternity that ever the Lord enabled us to believe in his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.